Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 9.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, March the 28th. If you're a writer, or an aspiring writer, or an artist of any kind, really, I think you'll be interested in our guest story this hour. But you'll especially relate if you're a struggling artist. Someone who has a dream, a passion, a talent, but need to do something else to pay the bills. I was intrigued by a new book by Nancy Peacock that arrived the other day because it reminded me of some people I know, someone close to me especially. I won't name names to protect the embarrassed, but I know someone who loves to write. He's a talented writer. He had a few poems and essays published, even some nibbles from a publishing house on a novel that he wrote, but he never hit the big time. And he drove a bus to pay the bills as he continued to pursue his passion. He's retired from the bus route, but he continues to write. Nancy Peacock is a critically acclaimed author. One of her novels, Life Without Water, was named a notable book by the New York Times. She also worked in many odd jobs to pay the bills, including 15 years as a house cleaner. And we learned what she learned about writing from being a housekeeper, and we will learn this hour some lessons about class and stereotypes, too. In her new book, A Broom of One's Own, Words on Writing, House Cleaning, and Life. And we will welcome your questions for her, and maybe your answer to this question. What does it mean to be a successful writer? Is it someone who has been published? Is it someone who is able to make a living from their writing? Or is it someone who is so dedicated to their field that they keep on going no matter what they have to do to pay the bills? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Nancy Peacock is the author of two novels, Life Without Water and Home Across the Road. Besides her work as a house cleaner, she's been a bartender, a carpenter, a locksmith, a costumer, a baker, waitress, assistant drum maker, and newspaper deliverer. Her latest book is A Broom of One's Own, Words on Writing, House Cleaning, and Life. And Nancy Peacock joins us from her home in North Carolina. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I was inspired by your book and surprised, too, because I was surprised that the author of two critically acclaimed novels had to work as a housekeeper to pay the bills.
I was a little surprised about that myself. I think my book is really about how disillusioned I was with what I imagined a writing life was going to be like. I mean, I thought if I had one published book, then I was just going to hit the big time. But it takes a long time to build a literary career, and that was something I really didn't understand at the time. I do understand it now.
Yeah. And you worked as a house cleaner through it all?
I worked as a house cleaner off and on, yes, for about 15 years.
Yeah.
As you said, I had these other jobs that gave me a lot of different experiences as well.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to give your book to the person I described in the introduction. I think he'll enjoy it, not only because it's funny, but I see him sort of living the life that you were living, working as a bus driver to pay the bills, but considering himself a writer, not a bus driver.
I enjoyed hearing about him.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, you wrote then, this book is writing about that time as a house cleaner. He's considered writing about his time as a bus driver, but faces some roadblocks that, you know, nobody wants to read about that.
Well, I think that's probably not true. I think a lot of people would like to read about that. There's plenty of people out there who aren't bus drivers who maybe need to know what it's like.
Yeah. So what did you learn about writing, being a house cleaner?
I think the lessons came to me, you know, slowly and painfully, but I think one of the biggest things I learned was just perseverance and to not let what you have to do as a living define you, but to define yourself.
Yeah. And you also learned, though, that the solitude, cleaning people's homes when they weren't home especially, was helpful.
Right. House cleaning was a really good job for me as a writer because I got to be by myself. And I think writing takes a lot of psychic space, you know, just space in your head, a job in which you know, like working retail in which there are a lot of people talking at me every day. That never worked for me. But being in a house, I could be by myself. If I was working on, you know, a particular novel, it could be sort of working along in my subconscious. It was very helpful just to be alone and to have a very simple task of cleaning a house.
Yeah. Tell us about the profile of you in the National Enquirer. The Cleaning Lady is an acclaimed author piece.
Well, that was actually one of my clients alerted me to that. She called me one morning before I was to come to her house and see. She said, "Congratulations, you're in the National Enquirer." I said, "What?" I said, "I thought the National Enquirer was a tabloid." She said, "It is." Well, apparently somebody had interviewed me for a women's magazine, and I don't know why the women's magazine didn't publish it, but he pitched it to the National Enquirer, and it ended up in the National Enquirer. Cleaning Lady is acclaimed author, and apparently it was right up their alley.
So, I don't know, did that embarrass you?
It did at first. I was in shock. I mean, I went to that house to clean, and she showed me the article, and I was just stunned, and, you know, the Enquirer is only out for a week at a time. So at the end of the week, I finally bought a copy. Actually, I bought a couple of copies and read it. And it took me years to sort of accept it. It was embarrassing.
Yeah. Did it in any way play a role in a broom of one's own?
Well, it launched a broom of one's own, really. I was actually pretty, at the time that I decided to write this book, I was feeling pretty low about my writing life. I'd written a memoir, which wasn't getting published, and I really didn't know what to write next. And a friend of mine said, "Why don't you write about house cleaning? You're always writing about house cleaning." We wrote together, and I thought, "Why don't I write about house cleaning?" So I started with that particular essay, the opening essay.
We are talking with Nancy Peacock, author of the new book, Broom of One's Own, part memoir about her life as an author who worked as a house cleaner to pay the bills, and part writing guide. We will welcome your questions about writing, about inspiration, motivation. We'll welcome your own stories, perhaps, about what you may have done to pay the bills in the pursuit of your passion, whatever it may be. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 18 and a half minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, March the 28th. Hope you stay tuned. Coming up this afternoon, John Munson in for Ben Marins today between 4 and 6. After 5, John and his guest will discuss the ruling this week by the 3rd District Court of Appeals on a case of a Wisconsin pharmacist who refused to fill a birth control prescription and then made it impossible for the woman to have it filled elsewhere. So we'll hear about that coming up after 5 o'clock. Right now, we're talking with Nancy Peacock. She is the author of 3 books. Her very latest is A Broom of One's Own, Words on Writing, House Cleaning, and Life. And we welcome your questions for her. Questions about writing. Questions about housekeeping, even. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. And we go to the phones. Teresa in Chippewa Falls is with us first. Good morning.
Hi. Morning. I guess I just wanted to say I'm an aspiring writer, and oh my goodness. I just want to say, like, how, like, you thought, like, a successful writer, how to define one. And I say a successful writer is someone who can just look at something or look at an event and see something in it that says, ooh, hey, write about me. I mean, I'm a poet, and I can see anything, and I'd be like, oh, awesome, I need to write about that. And I think that, winning contests is awesome and all, but I think it only verifies what you might already know about yourself, that if you are a good writer. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really good to boost the ego and everything, but
yeah. Teresa, are you able to, you find inspiration in just about anything and you're able to write about it. Are you able to support yourself with your writing, or do you have to do something other than write to pay the bills?
I'm a college student, so my parents deal with that right now.
Yeah, well, that's lucky anyway. Any reaction to that, Nancy?
Yes, I think that's a great observation, and actually the word observation is perfect, because one of the things I find that as a writer that I like the most is to just observe people. Oftentimes I think that it's said that writers live twice. I think we actually maybe live three times, because we're always on the outskirts of things, sort of even in the middle of it. We're observing it. So we're involved in it, we're observing it, and then we go home and we write about it. And I think she's absolutely right. I would also say that, you know, a successful writer is one who writes.
Yeah.
Which it sounds like she's doing.
Yeah, it does. Teresa, anything else?
No, just thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much. Well, so Nancy, I mean, that old adage is write what you know?
Well, there's write what you know, but you can also, it's interesting. I mean, in fiction, you have to sort of get in the minds and the lives of your characters, so you also have to write what you can imagine. And the truth is, you know, as human beings, we all have more in common than we think. And you can always put yourself in somebody else's shoes and think, what would this be like? And, you know, and write from that character's point of view. Writing what you know, I mean, I like keeping my settings in places that I'm familiar with, so that I'm not, you know, writing about Spain where I've never been, which I couldn't do.
Yeah.
But I think you have to stretch yourself and write what you know, but also write what you want to know.
Mm-hmm. Well, you write about the families that you clean their homes in this particular book. Tell us, just tell us what it was like being a house cleaner, and I guess what that taught you about life.
Well, it certainly made me more humble than I maybe wanted to be. What it taught me about life and being a house cleaner, I think it was difficult in a lot of ways, going into a different house every day, dealing with a different family. It was a lot of involvement with a lot of people in a way in which I wasn't really involved with them. I was certainly involved with their dirt. And, you know, I was involved with saying hello and, you know, getting a little story from them every now and then. I think, what it taught me about life was just perseverance, because at the time I was, you know, I was a writer. I was even a published writer. I'd been reviewed in the New York Times. There were days, actually, on my first book tour when I would, you know, fly off somewhere to a reading and be courted around and tricked around in a limo, and then the next day I would be cleaning somebody's house. So that, you know, spanning two worlds, that was really difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and tell us what you do have some observations in here about class and stereotypes too.
Yeah, I think it was difficult to write this book because I really didn't want to write about class, but then I realized as a house cleaner I was going to have to write about class. Stereotypes, I think we all stereotype each other. I certainly stereotype people more than I want to admit to. But as a house cleaner, I think anybody in the service jobs understands that there's a certain level of invisibility that you live with in this job. And oftentimes people think you're not smart, you're not intelligent, you don't have a life outside of whatever it is that you do. And I've worked a lot of service jobs.
Yeah, and invisible, like the family that would walk around in their underwear while you're there?
Yeah, they were an extreme case. That was pretty awful. They would walk around in their underwear while I was there. And, you know, I had the sense that I was as unimportant as the dog.
Yeah. Was that the same family that had the dog that they locked in the kitchen all the time?
Yes.
Yeah. What about, some of the stories are funny, but we can't really talk a lot about them. You tell people if you're going to hire a house cleaner, maybe you better remember to flush the toilet.
Oh, my God. That was the same family that didn't flush the toilets.
Yeah.
Definitely flush the toilets.
We are talking with Nancy Peacock. She is the author of two critically acclaimed novels prior to her newest book, A Broom of One's Own, Words on Writing, House Cleaning, and Life. She worked as a house cleaner to pay the bills, even though she had had these two critically acclaimed novels prior to this one. She needed to take on another job to pay the bills. So we're wondering if this has ever happened to you? Have you taken on a different job to pay the bills while you pursue your passion? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And while you're at it, we can talk about, if you want to, what it means to be a successful writer, whether that means someone who's been published and is on a book tour right now, or if it's someone who is just dedicated to their field, no matter what, that they will continue to pursue it as they do other jobs to pay the bills. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. June in Shawano is with us next. Hi, June. You're on the air.
Hi, Joy. I'm asking whether your guest knows of a series of detective stories in which the heroine of the story is a house cleaner. I read them, and they're quite delightful.
I think you're talking about the Blanche books by Barbara Neely.
Yes.
They are great books.
And I think that as a her observation, to use another word, is terrific. And I'm sure you've had that same experience.
You can learn a lot about people by going into their homes, and you can learn a lot about people by just, kicking back and watching them, too. I'm sure you can learn a lot as a bus driver, as Joyce's friend did.
Well, I'm a writer of sorts. I'm published in my field, which is economics and poetry, and I keep writing now that I'm retired and belong to the local writers' club. And I'm currently working on a book now, which is in a different field than my own. And I keep plugging, but like you, I've used other resources to pay the bills. Good luck to you.
Thank you, and to you, too.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks very much, June. Hey, you talked about a book about a house cleaner, I thought, in your book. It wasn't that one, though, was it?
There was another, I went to a reading by a woman who, it was a mystery. It was actually a detective who owned a house cleaning agency.
Oh, okay.
It was reportedly a house cleaner turned detective, so I was very disappointed.
Let's go to Lynn in Winneconne. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning. A question for your speaker. I'm just wondering how she found time, how she made herself sit down and write when she's also doing the house cleaning and life goes on and all that. I'm a published writer. I've done fairly well. I really love writing, and I like what I've done. I'm working on a novel, but I just got stuck, cleaning my own house, actually, and all that stuff, the dog, the garden, and how that goes. No complaints, but how do you make yourself do what you truly love to do is a weird question.
Yeah, we only have 30 seconds before a news break, but maybe get a start on that, Nancy.
It's a great question, and I think what you have to do is just carve out the time. For myself, I just set the goal on my first novel of writing an hour every morning, and I wrote my entire book in hour-long segments daily.
And when you were a house cleaner, you did that part-time. You didn't do it full-time.
At first I was doing it full-time, and then I went to part-time, but I always continued with the writing an hour every morning.
Nancy Peacock, our guest, talking about writing, house cleaning, and life, her new book, A Broom of One's Own. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's now 6:36 on this Friday, March the 28th. It's said that artists will do anything to support their passion. We are talking with a guest who cleaned homes to fund her passion, her writing. And we're talking about what our guest learned from her other jobs and what it taught her about life and writing and how the characters she met expanded her literary life view. And we are welcoming your questions about writing, about motivation, about inspiration. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. And we are wondering if you're a struggling artist, someone who is doing something other than your craft to pay the bills. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Nancy Peacock is a writer. She's the author of two critically acclaimed novels, who also worked many different odd jobs, including a housekeeper. She cleaned other people's homes to support her passion to pay the bills. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Nancy Peacock's latest book is A Broom of One's Own, Words on Writing, House Cleaning, and Life. And our next caller is Karen in... Karen, where are you calling from?
Harshaw, Wisconsin.
Harshaw. I thought maybe it was a typo and it was Wausau, but it's Harshaw. Okay, go ahead.
You know, just an observation. I mean, I'm doing house cleaning, and I am an aspiring writer, and that is my ultimate goal. And, you know, I haven't read the books of Nancy's, but I totally relate to what she must be feeling, because there's just so much that is observed. When you're just kind of going about a simple thing, and yet your mind is able to take in so much. I love house cleaning. I absolutely love it. But I love more. I love writing. And, so I'm just like her. I feel like, I've been able to do a lot of different things in my life. And, the best thing I've ever been able to do is really observe people in their own environment and in their own homes when they're so relaxed, and you just learn so much about life.
Hold on, Karen. This is what a coincidence. I'm so happy you called. Nancy Peacock, have you ever talked to other people like Karen?
Well, it's interesting to meet over the phone a person who cleans houses and writes, as I did for many years. I've met many people. I mean, many of my creative friends have had to do other jobs. You know, I know a writer who works as a worked as a waiter. I know, you know, a couple of artists who have had odd jobs that they've used to support themselves. And I think the one thing about house cleaning that I really loved was that it just gave me that space for writing. You know, nobody was talking to me. I just could be by myself and just think about my book. And also, as she says, you know, observe people in their environments.
Yeah. How did the people that you observed influence your writing, Nancy?
Well, my second book, Home Across the Road, actually features a woman who worked as a domestic at the center of it. She's the main character. And working as a domestic certainly helped me develop her character. I understood, especially in her case, I don't have children of my own, but, you know, she had to take care of children, and then she had to go home and take care of her own children. This was true for me in terms of house cleaning. You know, I had to clean other people's houses, and then I came home to face my own dirty house. That was difficult.
Yeah. Karen?
Yeah. I totally agree. Similar situation. But also, I kind of have a little bit of a correlation between the house cleaning, you know, as far as you have an organization, you have a plan, you kind of outline, accomplish what you need to accomplish.
Yeah, we're losing you on your cell phone, Karen, but I think you were getting at sort of the plan that goes into, I guess, cleaning a house in terms of the organization. I'll get this, that, and the other thing done, kind of correlates to writing, Nancy?
That's true. Mm-hmm. There's a beginning, a middle, and an end. And it's just a task. And with house cleaning, you know, you just do these certain tasks in this certain order, and you get it done. That's true for writing as well. Writing is a little more murky, mm-hmm. especially when you're writing fiction, because you get involved in these, you know, these places. I mean, if you write as I do without an outline, then you're sort of exploring as you go. Every book is different, but it's important to understand that you are grounded in the process. You know, and that's why I write every day at the same time. And you know, at the beginning of the day, I just set myself the task of saying, okay, I just have to write this scene, and I try and forget about the big picture. When I go into a house to clean, you know, it's daunting sometimes, these big houses. I think you just have to clean the kitchen right now, you know, and then the next task and the next task.
Did you love house cleaning, Nancy?
I can't say that I did. I knew there were things I liked about it, but I loved, you know, when I finished, and then I just closed the door and locked it, and it was out of my mind. You know, I didn't have to think about it. That part was really wonderful.
Doug in Oshkosh is with us now. Hi, Doug.
Hi, Joy. Thanks. Nancy, a question. First of all, comment, my house is dirty, but I'm not going to talk about that. My whole question is simply this, is if you wouldn't have, let's say you'd have had a lot of money and you wouldn't have had to clean houses, how different would your books have been? I'm working on a couple myself, but anyway, just a comment with your experience.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it would have been worse, actually, if I just had money and just been able to write. For one thing, I think there's a certain tension when you're writing, and the first tension that you have to deal with is the tension of trying to find the time and getting the words down on the page. And I think that tension actually adds to the tension that you have to maintain throughout the book. And also, you know, when you have to work these service jobs or whatever job you have to work, you're gleaning, you know, things from the world. You're out in the world. You're finding out things that you would never know if you just were able to sit at home and write.
Mm-hmm. Talk about how you finally hung up your house cleaning gloves.
Well, my back went out.
Mm-hmm.
I started a couple of writing groups. I started teaching writing. I realized I only had two marketable skills, and one of them was writing and the other was house cleaning, and that I was getting older. I needed to, you know, start paying more attention to the writing and less attention to the house cleaning. So I sort of eased out of it job by job. That was also wonderful. I didn't have to quit the whole thing at once. And I started teaching some classes, and now I run two classes up in my studio, and that's how I earn my living.
Yeah. We are talking with Nancy Peacock. She is the author of the new book, A Broom of One's Own, Words on Writing, House Cleaning, and Life. It's part memoir about how she cleaned people's homes to pay the bills, and also a guide on writing. 1-800-642-1234. We welcome your questions for her about writing or about how you are struggling to pay the bills, trying to pursue your passion. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's about 14 minutes before 7 o'clock. Coming up after 7, we'll talk about what President Bush had to say yesterday about the progress he sees in Iraq as violence is escalating in Iraq. We'll figure out what the best next steps are in Iraq with our guest after 7 o'clock. This morning. Right now, we're talking with Nancy Peacock. She is the author of A Broom of One's Own, Words on Writing, House Cleaning, and Life. Nancy Peacock, also author of two novels, Life Without Water and Home Across the Road, two acclaimed novels that even the New York Times listed as notable books, but they weren't enough to completely fund her life, and she had to take on odd jobs, including house cleaning, to pay the bills. 1-800-642-1234. If you have a story, something like this, if you're an aspiring writer or other artist, doesn't have to be a writer. I mean, maybe you're an actor or a painter or a sculptor who is pursuing your passion but having to pick up odd jobs to pay the bills. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Nancy is currently a writing teacher, and she, as she mentioned, has classes at her home in her studio in North Carolina. You have an opportunity to ask her questions about writing, inspiration, motivation, technique, that kind of thing, too, if you'd like. 1-800-642-1234. Eugene in Viola is with us next. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. Good morning, Joy.
Good morning.
I run an 1860s, 70s, and 80s shoeshine stand. different events during the summer in southern Wisconsin and northern Illinois.
And, about an odd job, Eugene.
Well, I'll tell you what. I've had to stand for 54 years. And I'm doing my first event this weekend down in McGregor, Iowa, an 1880 trade fair. And all the cowboys will be carrying six guns, but no live ammunition, no blanks in your guns. And those cowboys are just a lot of fun. And I've often wanted to put everything down on paper, but I've always had troubles with description and describing the event and doing an accurate job of it. But some of the characters and some of the people I've met are just a lot of fun. And also, when I put in a number of years in the classroom and dealing with the kids and doing the pictures, it's just plain interesting, pretty much all the way around. But I've always had trouble with description and writing it down. I've never gotten around to describing it and putting the thing down on paper, and I really don't know how to do it and do it accurately.
Any advice for Eugene, Nancy?
Yes. Well, first of all, I would say that I think any good fiction or creative nonfiction, which sounds like maybe what he wants to write, is character-driven. So he sounds like he knows these people, and he has these characters in his mind, and he should just start there. And I would say first draft, just let it rip, write everything down, and understand that it's not going to be perfect at first. I had two mantras when I wrote my first book, and these are still my mantras. And the one first was, nobody's going to do it for you. And the second was, you can fix it later. So there's a lot of revision involved in writing.
Yeah. Eugene, good luck. Thanks for calling. Harold in Madison, hi, you're on the air.
Yes, I have a question for your guest. My son has recently decided that he wants to change his major to English with an emphasis on creative writing. And the parent in me is, like, really nervous because, you know, I see that as I see myself having to support him, you know, or him expecting me to, rather. But what are some other careers or some other things that a person can do with that type of a degree? He is very gifted at writing. He's got some wonderful book ideas and some graphic novel ideas, and I think that it's a good fit for him, and that's his passion, and I want to encourage that. But I just turned on an urgent topic, and I thought, how ironic it is that I was just thinking about this. So what is some advice that you have for me as a parent or maybe the spouse of someone who is connected to someone pursuing their passion?
Well, I mean, I think your first instinct to recognize that this is a good fit for him is really good. I mean, it's important that we have good fits for ourselves and not jam ourselves into places that jobs that don't feel right, because, you know, writing for him is always going to come up. You know, I don't know, really. He could be a professor. He could be a lot of things. He could be an editor, or he could be a writer. He could clean houses.
Yeah.
Maybe you're scared of that.
Well, you don't want him cleaning your house, that's for sure.
But I think Harold, you know, there's a certain fear from parents that, you know, that they want their kids to pursue a, you know, some sort of successful career, something that will pay the bills. You can understand that nervousness, Nancy.
Oh, totally, I understand it. You know, I didn't go to college because I was so tired of school. By the time I got out of 12th grade, I just didn't feel like I could handle it. It was expected that I would go to college, and I remember my mother saying to me, "Well, you need to learn how to type so you can be a secretary."
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was like, "Man, I don't want to be a secretary." So I didn't learn how to type. I'm a writer who can't type. You know, I think that whatever a person's passion is, you can't squelch that. You know, they have to figure out how it's going to work for them, and if it is a passion, they will figure it out.
Yeah, and Harold, if it makes you feel any better, we have a number of English majors working at Wisconsin Public Radio.
There's always that. Yeah, and he may be one of them. He's going to be a junior next year at UW-Madison. So.
All right, well, good luck to you and to him. Well, and I'm married to somebody who, you know, he's working a full-time job in a broadcasting, a journalism career, and doing just fine. But he, like many people,
have this dream of I'm gonna write the next great American novel or whatever, and there is a little nervousness of, you know, will he quit his job and try to write that novel? There's no time to do it if you're working sometimes full time. Haven't you learned that, Nancy? Or do you deal with people who have full time jobs doing other things that are just writing on the side?
I do, and I don't know how they manage.
Yeah.
I had to work part time. And sometimes I think they're not managing. But, yeah, I think it's a real fear. I'm grateful I'm not married to a writer, frankly.
Who takes your classes?
I have both classes are kept very small with just six students in each one. They're all women right now. It just sort of happened that way. And there are people who I met, you know, none of them are, I think maybe some of them have some published pieces, but, you know, they're not, it's an ongoing class, so I get to work with them in a continuum, which I think is really good. You can go take 6 week classes with a writer or 8 week classes, but to work with somebody, you know, on a continuum, and I've worked with some of these women for over a year now, I can really see their writing growing, and that's real satisfying to me.
Yeah. You offer some advice in the form of rebuttal in your book, rebutting some of the advice you have received over the years on what you must do to be a successful writer, including you must spend time living abroad, and you say that you don't need to do that.
No, you don't need to do that. I mean, many of us can't do that, and some people don't even want to do that. I think there's sort of a myth about writers, and there's this romantic vision of going to Paris and sitting around the cafes and writing and drinking and so on, but you have to write from where you are, you know, and where I was a house cleaner.
Yeah. And right? And you don't have to subscribe to the New Yorker?
No. You can if you want to.
And you don't have to trade in your Mac and write on a PC?
No. You can write on whatever you want to. You can use the tools that are most comfortable to you. You know, every writer has to make her or his own path.
Yeah.
I think this was one thing that I had to learn was, you know, I saw a lot of successful writers or a lot of successful writers in the area where I live, and I sort of always thought that my life was supposed to look like theirs, and it didn't, and it never was going to. And I had to just learn that each writer has to make his or her own path, and that this was mine.
It says here your Johnny Depp spiral notebook is an important tool for you.
I filled that up now. I'm on to another one.
Ruth and Sean, oh, hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I'm a compulsive writer, and I've considered it, I don't know if that's a strength or a weakness, the only publishing I've been able to enjoy is a letter to the editor now and then. But my compulsion dates back, it was started 70 years ago. I've been keeping a daily journal since I was 14 years old. My mother gave me my first one, so I have 70 of them now.
Wow.
And I've kept it through all the stages of life and through all my children's growing up years and all, everything. And the question is, so what, you know? I understand it's a compulsion, and I just wondered if what's wrong with this, so if it has any value.
I don't know if there's anything wrong with keeping a journal all your life. Is there, Nancy?
No, of course not. Mm. I mean, I think we all have to write in the beginning for ourselves, and then we move it out into the larger world, if that's what we want to do. But there always has to be, you always have to maintain that sort of personal relationship with writing. I did. You know, I had to sort of regain that because I had lost it after I got published. You know, I thought my career was suddenly sort of all about publishing and all about putting it out there for other people, and I had to make friends with writing again and just sit down and write in my journal and just write whatever I wanted to, write without destination. It's very important to do that. Plus, you have a treasure trove of record-keeping of your life.
Yeah. Ruth, thank you very much for the call. So, Nancy, are you working on another book now that A Broom of One's Own is out?
I am almost finished with my next novel. After this, I'm going to go to my studio, and I'm on the revision part of it, and I'm really on the final sort of part where you go through and you make sure all the commas are in and that sort of thing. So hopefully I will have it to my agent in a week or so.
And right now the only house that you're cleaning is your own.
Right, and I'm doing that more than I used to and not as much as I ought to.
I'm with you. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
And Nancy Peacock is a novelist. She has two novels out, Life Without Water and Home Across the Road. Her very latest book is not a novel. It's a part memoir. It's A Broom of One's Own, Words on Writing, House Cleaning, and Life, describing how she lived life as a house cleaner to pay the bills as she pursued her writing. So essays on house cleaning and the people she met and the observations she made on that, and a guide on writing as well. We thank her for being with us, and we thank you for listening and calling in. Good luck to all the aspiring writers out there. Thanks to Karen Prager for producing this hour. If you'd like a CD copy of this or any of our talk shows, you can call the radio store, 1-800-747-7444. You can also listen to our talk shows archived on our website, wpr.org. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.